Please stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Antares Pharma fourth quarter 2014 operating and financial results conference call. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. I will now hand the conference over to Jack Howarth, Antares Vice President of Corporate Affairs. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Orlando, and good morning, everyone. This morning, we released our fourth quarter and full year 2014 operating results and recent achievements, and a copy of the press release can be found on the Antares website at www.antarespharma.com under the news section. In addition, this morning's teleconference also contains an interactive slide presentation. If you are currently accessing the audio-only portion of our call, a copy of the slide presentation has been posted on the investor information section of our website under the presentations tab, which is found under the reports and documents tab. Before we begin, please be advised that during the course of this call, we may make forward-looking statements concerning the company that are not historical facts. These forward-looking statements may include, but are not limited to, statements concerning the potential benefits of Otrexup and the products in development, clinical trial designs and outcomes, timing of the FDA actions including product approvals, actions of third-party partners and timing thereof, time of launch of products in development, growth of product sales and timing thereof, and future collaborations in our device platform. Forward-looking statements provide Antares' current expectation or forecast of future events. Actual results could differ materially from those reflected in these forward-looking statements due to decisions of regulatory authorities and Antares' ability to execute on its development plans, capital needs, and general financial, economic, regulatory, and political conditions affecting the pharmaceutical industry generally. Additional information concerning these risks and uncertainties are contained in the Risk Factors section of Antares' annual report on Form 10-K and in Antares' periodic filings and other filings made with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Antares is providing this information as of the date of this release and does not undertake any obligation to update any forward-looking statements contained in this earnings call as a result of new information, future events, or circumstances after the date hereof, except as required by law or otherwise. The company cautions investors not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Joining me on the call today are Eamon Hodge, President and Chief Executive Officer, Robert Apple, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer, and Jim Fikencher, Chief Financial Officer. I'll now turn the call over to Eamon Hodge.
Thanks, Jack, and good morning to all of you joining us on today's call. Let's begin by reviewing the agenda for today's call on slide 3. I will begin with an overview of our 2014 accomplishments. Bob Apple will provide an update on Otrexup results and activities, and Jim Fikencher will take you through the fourth quarter financial results. I will then discuss our pipeline and how we plan to build on our momentum in 2015. We will conclude with a Q&A session. Moving on to slide number 4, we believe that 2014 was a pivotal year in our history. We launched our first proprietary product, Otrexup, which ended the year with $7.3 million in revenues, and our total company revenues reached a record $26.5 million in 2014. This represents a 29% growth over 2013. We also saw significant progress in several of our pipeline candidates. With respect to our quickshot testosterone program, we announced positive phase 2 results in February and worked swiftly to enroll all patients in our phase 3 PK study by the middle of November. This quick enrollment allowed us to announce positive top-line results of this phase 3 study in February of 2015. We worked to support Teva so they could submit their final amendment on the EpiPen ANDA by the end of December. We look forward to Teva getting feedback from the FDA on this filing in the second half of 2015. We also submitted a response to the FDA on our ANDA for sumatriptan, and in January 2015, we heard back from the FDA. We believe that we are poised for a possible approval of this product later this year. Finally, we navigated through a change in CEOs last year, and I am honored to be leading Antares. I believe that we have strengthened our management team through the appointment of Bob Apple to the position of Chief Operating Officer, the hiring of Jennifer Evans Stacy as our General Counsel and Head of Human Resources, and Jim Fikencher as our Chief Financial Officer. I look forward to continuing to make additional progress in 2015. I'll now turn the call over to Bob Apple. Bob?
Thanks, Eamon, and good morning, everyone. Slide number 5 provides an update on Otrexup progress. You will recall that on our last operating results conference call, we spoke about integrating the contract sales force from Quintiles into Antares to create a dedicated field organization. We have successfully completed this process. Keeping the high-performing Otrexup representatives and expanding from 25 to 32 territories through the hiring of experienced representatives. We feel really good about the Antares sales team. Many of the representatives either have previous RA selling experience or are proven top performers from other pharma companies. We know it will take several months for the new reps to get up to speed, but we are extremely optimistic about their potential. Approximately 40% of our territories are covered by new Otrexup reps, but the high-performing reps who have been with us since before the Salesforce expansion are excited about smaller and more focused territories with new selling aids and powerful tools to work with. Since the beginning of 2015, we have signed contracts with multiple managed care organizations covering millions of commercial lives. Our goal is to not only ensure coverage of Otrexup, but also remove time-consuming prior authorizations and step edits wherever possible. The nature of third-party contracting will dictate that in some plans, we will be in a preferred or exclusive position to our competitor, and vice versa. We are generally satisfied with being at parity to our competition on most plans. These contracts take effect at various times from January 1 through April this year, and we plan on to continue to negotiate with additional payers on a fiscally responsible basis. Turning to slide number 6, we recently held our first national sales meeting for the Antares Otrexup field force since they became full-time Antares employees. We reviewed improved messaging and outlined new sales tools such as the Otrexup Total Care Program designed to make it easier for patients and physicians to get access to Otrexup. We also reviewed the status of contracting with managed care organizations. The sales representatives spent 2 days in training, and we believe that they left fully energized to go back out into the field with the tools in hand to grow Otrexup prescriptions. Slide number 7 presents the Otrexup monthly prescriptions for 2014, as reported by Symphony Health Solutions. In the beginning of November, we gave Quintiles notice that we intended to integrate the sales force into our organization. When you do something like that, it creates uncertainty among the sales representatives because naturally they wonder if they will be asked to join the new organization. Uncertainty creates distraction, and distraction can create a drop-off in productivity. Couple the distraction with the entrance of a competitor to the marketplace, and you've got a potential for declining prescriptions. Despite these distractions, Q4 2014 prescriptions grew 23% over Q3. We believe we made great strides in our first year of commercialization by increasing the number of unique prescribers of Otrexup to approximately 1,400 physicians at the end of the fourth quarter of 2014, as compared to approximately 1,000 physicians at the end of the third quarter. This Symphony data indicates that roughly half of our target physician universe have now prescribed Otrexup, generating approximately 15,700 prescriptions in 2014. With the adjustments to our sales team's complete, effective messaging to physicians and patients, steady progress on the reimbursement side, and growing clinical belief and adoption of our product, we believe that prescriptions will continue to grow in 2015. I'll now turn the call over to Jim. Jim?
Thanks, Bob, and good morning, everyone. I would like to point out that all of my comments this morning relate to the fourth quarter of 2014 with comparisons against the fourth quarter of 2013. If you have any questions on the full year figures, I'm happy to discuss those in the Q&A session. Let's get started on slide number 8. Total revenue for the fourth quarter of 2014 was $8.4 million, a 77% increase over the $4.7 million recorded in 2013. Product sales, which represent sales of our proprietary products, devices, and device components to our partners, were $4.5 million in 2014 compared to $0.9 million in 2013. The increase in product sales was primarily driven by the launch of Otrexup. Development revenues represent amounts earned under arrangements with partners in which we develop new products on their behalf. Frequently, we receive payments from our partners that are initially deferred and then recognized as revenue over a development period or upon completion of defined deliverables. 2014 development revenue was $2.3 million compared to $1.5 million in 2013, representing a 57% growth. Licensing revenue represents the amounts recognized from upfront or milestone payments received from partners that are initially deferred and recognized over the entire life of our agreements. Licensing revenue was $0.9 million in 2014 compared to $0.6 million in 2013. Royalty revenue is recognized from the in-market sales of products sold by our partners. 2014 royalty revenue was $0.7 million compared to $1.7 million in 2013. The decrease in royalties is primarily due to the decision taken by Teva in April 2014 to recall the drug product Tevtropin, and hence temporarily eliminated all revenues related to Tevtropin in the U.S. for the balance of the year. In December of 2014, Ferring reacquired the rights to Tevtropin from Teva, and we expect that they will relaunch Tevtropin in the United States at some point in 2015. Let's now move to slide 9 and have a look at the fourth quarter income statements. Total gross profit decreased in 2014 to $3 million, compared to $4.1 million in 2013. Gross margin represented 35% of 2014 revenues versus 86% in 2013. The company recognized a non-cash expense of $2.2 million in the fourth quarter of 2014 related to excess and obsolete inventory of Otrexup, which contributed to this unusually low gross margin rate. Gross margin rate for 2014 was also lower than 13 because we saw an increase in lower margin development revenues and a decrease in royalties, which of course have a 100% gross margin. 2014 total operating expenses were $13 million versus $10 million in 2013. The increase in operating expenses were driven by costs associated with the sales and marketing of Otrexa, higher spend on litigation, and higher research and development expense, primarily related to QST. Net loss was $10.1 million for 2014 versus $5.6 million in 2013. This translates into net loss per share of 8 cents and 4 cents for the fourth quarters of 2014 and 13, respectively. At December 31, 2014, cash and investments totaled $40 million, compared to $69.1 million at December 31, 2013. With that, I'll turn the call back over to Eamon.
Thanks, Jim. Please advance to slide 10. We are very excited about our late-stage development pipeline, which includes quickshot testosterone in phase 3 clinical development and three more compounds in registration, with approvals in the near future possible. Let's move on to slide 11. We see QST as filling a void in the current TRT treatment landscape. We believe that a once-weekly at-home injection through a very thin needle will be very appealing to men who have experience with gels and intramuscular injections alike. QST is designed to eliminate the risk of transference and messy application associated with gels. Our view is that these patients may also enjoy the once-a-week dosing regimen rather than the daily application required by gels. We believe men who have experience with intramuscular testosterone injections should see the value of a quick, at-home injection that we believe will be virtually pain-free and which produces the consistent levels of testosterone that we saw in our phase 3 study. The very positive results of this study are summarized on slide 12. The primary endpoint in the study was having at least 75% of patients attaining a C-average testosterone level in a predefined range at week 12. Of the 150 patients that received one or more doses of QST, 92.7% were in this range. Of the 137 patients that completed all 12 weeks of dosing and had PK sampling completed, 98.5% were within the predefined range. The lower level of a 95% confidence interval of 87.3% was well above the 65% level required by the study. There were no patients in the study whose measured C average exceeded 1,500 nanograms per deciliter, let alone the upper level allowed. Overall, the regimen demonstrated a clinically meaningful mean concentration of testosterone of 553.3 nanograms per deciliter. 150 patients have received at least one dose of study drug, and to date, there have been no reported deaths and one serious adverse event, or SAE, of hospitalization for worsening depression. This patient received a single dose of QST, and the SAE was not considered to be related to the study drug. Thus far, there have been no reported adverse events consistent with hives. We will continue to monitor for safety through the conclusion of the 52-week study period. In January, we announced that the FDA recommended that we expand our safety database to allow us to collect data from a total of 350 patients exposed to QST, including safety data in 200 patients exposed for 6 months and 100 patients exposed for 1 year. Based on the request, we believe that we will need approximately 70 additional patients with 6 months of safety data. To summarize, we remain optimistic about QST's potential to be a once-weekly, self-administered, subcutaneous dose of testosterone with convenient at-home use. We are fully committed to working closely with the FDA on the expansion of the safety database and the filing of the new drug application. Please turn to slide number 13. This past December, Teva submitted an amendment to the EpiPen ANDA, and this is under review by the FDA. Teva has since disclosed to the investment community that they have included risk-adjusted revenues from an AB-rated generic versions of Mylan's EpiPen in their 2015 guidance. Separately, Mylan has stated that their revenue guidance reflects the potential for a second-half 2015 launch of an AB-rated generic to EpiPen. Ultimately, approval and AB rating of a generic EpiPen is an FDA decision. Teva has stated that they expect a response from the FDA in the second half of 2015. We are currently manufacturing pre-launch quantities of the Vivex EpiPen for Teva based upon their forecast for this year, and we should see revenues from the sale of these devices throughout the year. If approved, we will also receive mid to high single-digit royalties on Teva's net sales of the generic EpiPen. Given the size of the market, we believe that this is a very important event for Antares and our shareholders. Moving on to slide 14, in January 2015, we received some very encouraging news on our Vivex Sumatriptan auto-injector project, which is a combination drug device product in development for the acute treatment of migraine. Although the news was received in the form of a complete response letter from the FDA, it provided revisions to product labeling and cited minor deficiencies. The FDA outlined the revisions necessary to support approval of the ANDA, and we submitted our response to the agency last week. If approved, the Vivex Sumatriptan auto-injector would represent the company's first AB-rated ANDA approval of a complex generic and a second device approved from the Vivex platform. You may recall that Teva will be our distribution partner for this product. Antares will receive a milestone payment up from them upon launch and split profits equally with Teva. We will need approximately 6 to 9 months from the date of approval to build the commercial capacity to support launch quantities. Perhaps the most exciting part of this opportunity is that it validates our ability to expand and develop a platform of our own complex generics going forward. Moving on to slide 15, we recently disclosed that Teva had received acceptance of its ANDA with the FDA for exenatide, which was formerly known as TEV-PEN2. This product is a multi-dose exenatide pen for the treatment of diabetes and is intended to be the first generic to Byetta. According to Symphony, Byetta generated revenues of approximately $350 million in 2014. We look forward to working with Teva to drive the availability of this very exciting complex generic. Let's wrap up our prepared remarks with slide 16. With the run of good news recently received, we believe that we are on the verge of bringing several of these projects to completion, and 2015 is shaping up to be a transformative year for us. We are looking to build on our momentum, and we'll be focused on the following four key goals in 2015. First, commence the QSD safety study requested by the FDA and provide an update on the filing date for this NDA. Second, continue to grow Otrexup prescriptions and revenues. Third, supply Teva with Vibex Epi devices required for the launch of an AB-rated generic product. Finally, prepare for an approval and put in place the commercial capacity to support the launch of our first proprietary complex generic, the Vibex sumatriptan auto-injector. In closing, I want to thank all of our shareholders for your support since I became CEO of Antares. I also want to thank the dedicated employees of Antares, without whom none of these opportunities would be available. We believe that 2015 promises to be a very exciting year for all of us. Thank you for your attention. Operator, could you now open the lines for Q&A?
Certainly. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. We'll take our first question from Oren Livnat with JMP Securities.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the question. I have a few. On the QuickShot testosterone, when do you expect timing-wise to have some FDA feedback and a sign-off on your expected 70-patient, six-month plan? When might you expect potentially to be filing this product? Actually, I'll follow up.
Well, we have replied to the FDA's letter to us in January and are currently awaiting their reaction to our response. As we mentioned in our call, our anticipation is that we'll be conducting an approximately 70-patient additional supplementary study that is focused on safety data generation at a six-month time period. As far as the timing of the FDA's response to us, I'm afraid we don't have any insight into that, although we're hopeful that it will be in the near future. We're still shooting for a 2017 commercial launch, and at this point, it would be in the second half of 2017.
All right. On EpiPen, clearly, you've highlighted that both Mylan and Teva now are explicitly talking about some amount of generic AB-rated EpiPen out there, which is great. At the same time, I think we see in the market right now, Mylan is making a pretty big marketing push, and they've talked about brand equity being a crucial element to maintaining their market share. Do you have a feeling of how that plays out if and when a generic is approved that's AB-rated, in terms of how you guys think a reasonable erosion rate would go? Does Mylan have anything besides brand equity that you're aware of to place barriers to entry or conversion of an AB-rated generic?
Well, we're not aware of Mylan having any additional tools at their disposal outside of brand equity. And with regard to the forecast for the penetration of an AB-rated generic, I think that'd be a better question for our partner than for us, although our partner has stated that they don't see any reason why the entry of an AB-rated generic wouldn't gain market shares that are typical for a first generic entry into the marketplace.
Great, thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ward.
And once again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. We'll move on to Louise Chen with Guggenheim Securities.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I had a few here. So I was wondering, you know, in your early stages of launch with Atrexup, could you provide some feedback that you've gotten from physicians regarding the product? And then in 2015, do you expect an acceleration of growth given all the initiatives that you mentioned earlier in the call? Second question I had was just regarding your cash position and time to profitability, if you could give more color on that. And then last question is just on forecasting for 15. Just curious how we should think about SG&A and R&D expenses year over year, and if there's anything to think about with respect to quarterly EPS progression, given that you're launching products, you're developing products, and with a Teva opportunity ahead of you in the middle of the year. Thank you.
Good morning, Louise. We'll let Bob handle the first part of that, and then Jim the second part.
Sure. Louise, thanks for the question. With regarding Atrexup and how it's being received in the field, both from physicians and patients, I think that's probably one of the shining stars that we see, that it is being received quite well from both patients and physicians. From a patient side, they think it's an easy device to use. It's a painless injection, and I think the patients are seeing the clinical value of it, with regards to their RA. From a physician standpoint, I think that our data suggests that it's being received well, too, that half of our target audience has written a script for Otrexup is a huge benchmark to hit in less than a year. So, over 14,000 doctors have tried it. 1,400 doctors out of 2,800 or so. And, we still see the penetration continue to increase. I think that the biggest barrier we've had to this point, to be honest, is just the reimbursement process. And so we put a lot of things into place this year in order to streamline that process for both the physicians and the patients. And using our total care program, I think we're going to see a nice increase in prescription on a go-forward basis, given that, if a doctor feels comfortable in writing a prescription for Otrexup and it'll get reimbursed in a timely manner, I think that's the biggest barrier that you see for most product launches in any space. And so we feel really good about what we've seen with the product, and I think that's the most important thing. And then all the other things we'll do is just tactical of getting the reimbursement process improved and continue to grow the scripts into 2015. I think that with our new sales force going into place really in January and February, we'll start to see the impact of not only the sales force, but the new tools. Really, I think we'll see continually increasing prescriptions, but see more of it towards the middle of the year and in the latter part of the year as these things take effect.
Louise, with respect to your questions on the financials, from a cash point of view, we have $40 million. We went through about $8 million in the fourth quarter of 2014. Obviously, as Bob was talking, we feel confident that we're going to continue to see increase in revenues and Otrexup, and there are certainly some good opportunities for us. Particularly the fact that we'll be shipping devices to Teva for the launch quantities, and obviously if they get the AB generic rated, then as soon as that happens, we will also get mid to high single digit royalties that will generate significant amount of cash in back half of the year as well. So, I think that we feel okay where we are with our cash position right now. With respect to some of your questions around EPS and expense progression, obviously we don't give any guidance in our financial parameters, but just a couple of things for you to think about. First is with respect to R&D, in 2014, we did have pretty significant expenses related to the QST trial that were going on. And so, if it weren't for the fact that we had this additional safety study, I would say that we would see, you know, some type of leveling off or reduction in expenses. I think that, you know, to assume that we are still at a growth stage and we're going to spend money on R&D is an appropriate item. We're obviously looking for new products and compounds, whether internally developed formulations, those types of things, or in licensing. Plus, we'll be spending some money on the additional trial for QST. With respect to our SG&A expense, one of the big drivers of incremental expense last year was the litigation that we have with MedAct that is continuing at this point in time. I think that it's probably wise to assume that we'll continue to see some progression in the SG&A as well. While we've brought on more sales reps, I think that we're over the big, quote, launch costs that we have, and I think that Bob and the team are taking a very good approach from an economics point of view. I think they're investing the right amount of money on trying to grow Otrexup without being lavish. So, you know, overall, hopefully that gives you a little bit of feel for how we see the year playing out.
Thank you.
And next we'll hear from Akiva Felt with Oppenheimer.
Thanks. Maybe another question for Jim. Would it be possible to break out the sales and marketing expenses directly attributable to Otrexup, and any thoughts on how that, you know, that trends in 2015? Thanks.
No, we've actually made the decision that we're going to move forward with just an SG&A number as the lowest level of disclosure. I think that you could probably get a pretty good estimate based on industry standards of, you know, we've got 32 territories and an appropriate 4 or 5 district managers and some support there behind that. So, you know, I think our reps are pretty typical within the industry in terms of their compensation structure. So my guess is that you can probably get a pretty good feel for what the sales side of it is. From a marketing point of view, I mean, we spend money on access to physicians. But we don't do any DTC. We don't do a lot of additional things. So, again, I think it's an appropriate amount that we spend, but we won't at this point in time break out exact dollars of spend for competitive reasons.
Yeah, I think what's important to note is that we've increased our sales force by probably, you know, 20-some percent, and we don't really see an increase in our overall costs
right. Compared
to last year. I think that what we're doing is really honing in on, you know, where we want to spend our money and be judicious, but still not, risk the increase in prescriptions and so forth for our trucks up. So I think generally we're spending about the same we did last year, but we've, increased the number of reps quite a bit. And so we think that that'll, you know, provide a future value for our trucks up going forward.
Orlando, you want to move on to the next call?
Yes. And I'd like to remind the audience that, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, you can press star 1 at this time. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll hear from Oren Livnat with JMT Securities.
Thanks again. Just wanted to clarify, R&D looked pretty high, certainly well above ours this quarter. And does that just reflect the higher development rev also on your books, or is there any material increase in fundamental spending on your own pipeline in there? You've talked about being excited about sumatriptan ANDA precedents. I'm wondering if you are maybe already investing more money in your own proprietary pipeline.
Yeah, or actually, there is a one unusual item in the fourth quarter in R&D. So we had a the way that the timing fell for the approval of Otrexup in October of 2013. Resulted in the FDA not sending an invoice for some product and facility fees to us until December of this year. And so there's about $1 million that got booked in the fourth quarter of this year that's you know, not a normal recurring item. So that's probably why you were off on your estimate.
Well, sorry if that was disclosed already. And the other thing, I guess, is with regards to development rev, that is strong, and I imagine that's a reflection of ongoing partner R&D, and you did talk about having a new license in there. So I'm just wondering, how is that trending, do you think, and is that a reflection of perhaps new pipeline opportunities that we should expect to see unveiled in, you know, in 2015?
I mean, I can handle that if you want.
Sure.
You know, on the development revenue side, it's a combination of the new program that we have with the unnamed partner, but it's more so on the Teva side with all the different programs that we've been working on, whether it's the Exenatide, the Epi, and then another undisclosed product that we have with Teva. But clearly, we believe that the one development program with the unnamed partner is still moving forward, and we think that we're going to continue to see a nice increase in the development revenue as we finish up the programs with Teva and continue this other development, what we call a life cycle management project with a already approved product on the marketplace. And so, we believe that it's a core part of our business and it continues to grow. And so we expect to have a good 2015 in that line item.
Warren, I'm going to be very happy to trade out development revenue with its low margin for Epi royalties with 100% royal margin at any point in time as well. So,
sure. I'm just wondering if it's a reflection of an expanding pipeline we'll learn about. And just lastly, speaking of your pipeline, sumatriptan, can you just characterize how you see that market opportunity now with regards to where it stands now, how competitive it is, and how big an opportunity it might be for you and Teva?
Sure. I think that, from a sumatriptan standpoint, it's a highly genericized market. There are about three auto injectors on the market currently right now the dominant player is Sun Pharma. It's still about $150 million or so in market cap or market size, maybe a little bit more than that, depending on, the particular month. We are coming out if it's approved with both strengths, both the 4 milligram and the 6 milligram, which is we would be the first one to have both strengths other than the RLD, and so we believe that that'll have a nice advantage from a contracting standpoint. The other thing that we're going to rely on, obviously, is we chose Teva to be our partner in this area, and we think they're one of the best generic companies in the world as far as being able to take market share when they have a generic product. And we will, rely on their leverage of getting a lot of products reimbursed through the generic process with third-party payers. And so I think that, Teva's expectations are good, and we haven't disclosed anything yet, but obviously we need to get it approved first and then get it on the market. But we don't see that market going away. We don't see a whole lot of entrance into this marketplace. Again, if I can remind everybody that the nice aspect of combination products with devices is that when they go generic, it's not a race to the bottom like you see with tablets, because there's very few players that can do this. And so we see a long-term value of our sumatriptan product, assuming it gets approved, and we think that we can gain a good bit of market share in the current market today.
And once again, And once again, that is star one to ask a question. Once again, star one to ask a question. We'll take our next question from Wangzi Li with Ladenburg.
Hey, good morning. This is Wangzi Ong from Matt Cabin from Ladenburg. Thanks for taking my questions. I have maybe three questions. The first one is regarding the Otrexup sales. I mean, I see solid growth in the first quarter. I just wondered, do you have further color on in terms of what portion are new transcriptions and how much are refills?
That's a difficult question to answer for a product like Otrexup. Typically, when you see new prescriptions, you know it's a new patient, and then you can actually gauge how the product is going from a growth standpoint. What makes it difficult with Otrexup and other products like ours in the space is that because we offer multiple strengths and the doctors titrate the patients up depending on how it's working or how their RA is progressing. You may have a patient that started on 15 milligrams and they go to 20 the next month to try to get a bump on their the efficacy, and they show up as a new prescription in new patients. So it really confounds the data because that happens quite a bit. What I can tell you is that, you know, we had a nice growth quarter over quarter, and based on the number of physicians growing from 1,000 to 1,400, you'd have to assume that they're new patients. But we are seeing nice people staying on the product, nice maintenance, and we see that data really through our copay assistance program. We can track when a patient uses that program over a series of months, and we continue to see consistent patient persistence on our product through that program. So I think it's a combination of both. It's new patients and also patients staying on the product for a number of months.
Oh, that's great. So for the patients stay on the drug, do you get a sense of usually how many cycles or how many prescriptions they usually stay on?
Now, you know, again, you know, based on our copay card, we have some patients on that have been on. We have some patients that have been on well over 6 months, and we're seeing that trend grow. So as we get more data, you know, to be honest with you, we just launched this. We only have data through January, so that's less than 10 months of data. And as the ramp progresses, we get more and more patients. So I think that's going to be a question that maybe we can tackle in a few quarters or so. But like I said, the persistence data looks good so far.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. So now I want to switch to QST. For the additional safety population, about 70 patients, I know you're still waiting for FDA feedback, but just to get a sense, is that the new study will be purely like open-label safety, or will also include some PK? Just get a sense about that.
Well, the study is primarily a supplementary study to generate the safety data that FDA has requested. There are a number of smaller segments, small patient cohorts within that study that we've proposed to generate some additional data. And one of those small cohorts is PK. Of course, this is all subject to FDA review and agreement. But at this point in time, the study is really driven by the 70 patients at 6 months safety data requirement that FDA has asked us for.
Okay, great. My last question is about the somatropin program. So the CRL says some minor deficiencies. It's okay to disclose what the deficiencies or?
You know, we typically don't get into that kind of granularity, but essentially what we have said in previous disclosures is that it was all mostly around labeling.
Right.
And so it was a rather quick turnaround for us to answer those, and unfortunately that's just how the agency works. You get a letter which lays out how they want you to change certain things, and you still have to reply, and then with ANDAs there is no timelines, and so we're just waiting for the response back from the FDA, and we hope to be able to get that product moving forward very shortly.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you for answering my questions and congratulations on the progress on 2014. Thank you.
And we have no further questions. I'll turn the call back over to Jack Howarth for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, Orlando, and thanks again for joining us on today's conference call. If you have any follow-up questions, you can reach me at 609-359-3016. That completes today's call.
And ladies and gentlemen, once again, that does complete our call for today. We thank you very much for your participation.